Morning, everyone. It is Wednesday, the 13th of July. Morning, Marcus. What have you got for overnight?
Morning, Ben. Yes, well, we don't know what to do today, do we? When I looked at the market, it was down 3 points and then up 3 points. And the SPY futures this morning were unchanged. Dow was down 193 and the NASDAQ down 1%, S&P down 0.9%. Europe was up a little bit, but everyone is on hold ahead of the CPI number in the US tonight. So my strategy piece starts with Rien Never Plus, which is no more bets, please. Anyone hanging it out there today is gambling on the CPI number, which is could be a binary outcome. There is talk I see there of a 9% number. We are expecting, or the consensus is 8.8% versus 8.6%. That's the headline number. The core number actually peaked a couple of months ago, but we're talking about the headline number continuing to go up. And the suggestion was if there was a 9% inflation headline, you would see a 100 basis point rise from the FOMC on July the 27th. Let's hope not. But the interesting observation is, of course, that commodity prices have come off significantly recently. And overnight, you've probably seen the oil price down 8% or so. And on the back of that, by the way, travel stocks are up today. But the oil price down 8%. The reasons that are perhaps China lockdown risk and a strong US dollar. When the US dollar goes up, all the commodity prices have come down. But the suggestion on the CPI number, of course, is that this could be the peak number because commodity prices have come off significantly. Recession risks are rising, and maybe this is as high as it gets. And in the strategy piece today, I've got a chart, a 100-year chart of the US inflation rate. And there is absolutely one guarantee is that when inflation spikes, it also comes off extremely rapidly as well at some point. So this will peak, obviously not today, but maybe tonight. We will see. So other features are metal prices down 2% overnight, mostly iron ore down 3%. So our resources looking a bit floppy today. The IMF downgraded GDP numbers, but as I always say with the IMF or the World Bank, if those economists were any good, they'd be working at Goldman Sachs. So second tier economists downgrading their GDP numbers. The 2- and 10-year bond yields have inverted for the fourth time, I think, and they're as inverted as they've been since 2007. This, of course, is a precursor to every recession. You've seen the 2- and 10-year bond yield invert in the US, although they have inverted without recessions happening. So who knows? You've probably seen Twitter suing Musk and lots of chatter or Twitter about Musk and a fair bit of news wire commentary about Trump inciting insurrection. There is a inquiry going on, quite astonishing what went on in the White House over that period. Otherwise, after the CPI number tonight, we've got the US results season starting after that. And that is about that.
Very nice. Thank you, Marcus. Tom, what's happening locally today?
Thank you, Ben. Our market is treading water, down 1 point when I did my notes, but that is off lows. Energy and miners leading the falls, Woodside off 3%, Santos off 3% as well. Travel names enjoying a lower oil price with Qantas up 4.6% and corporate travel CTD up 3% as well. Property and tech names are outperforming, financials treading water.
Worth mentioning that Will, who works for us on sales, his wife runs a travel business, and their inquiries have gone from 15,000 to 100,000 in the last month or so. So travel is certainly coming back.
Oh, well, that's coming out in the CTD share price as well. KKR in talks to sell Myob Group to ANZ with a price tag of $4 billion. U-Media has a new CFO. KMD Brands down 0.5% on a trading update, and that was the old Kathmandu they just rebranded. Platinum Asset Management, PTM, June funds under management slipping, and the stock is down 5% on the back of that. On the economic front, we have building activity data due at 11:30. China has trade data out. The RBNZ expected to lift rates 50 basis points to 2.5% at midday. And as Marcus pointed out, US inflation data tonight, Ben.
Thank you for that, Tom. Layton, welcome back. What have you got from Brokerland?
Thank you, Ben. I'm a little bit congested, so if I sound a bit funny, that's why.
Look, you don't have to pretend to us that you really were ill on a Monday and a Tuesday after a big weekend, Layton, so that's okay. You keep pretending.
Got my antibiotics over there.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay,
get on. Morgan's has increased its oil forecast for FY22 through to FY26. The broker expects long-term value in the sector, but says that some caution is applied due to the short-term variability. So they've pretty much just blanket increased earnings and cost forecast for stocks under their coverage, for the energy stocks under their coverage. And that includes Beach Energy, which is BPT. They've increased the target price there. Karoon Energy, they've lifted their target price there about 17%. Woodside Energy, they've increased the target price there 9.5%. And Santos, which they say is still their sector pick, the increase in cost estimate have outweighed earnings. So therefore, the target price has fallen to $9.30 from $10. That still implies a 33% upside. And just with Karoon Energy, their target price there implies a 107% upside. But all of those stocks are down around 2 to 3% this morning, just on the back of that oil price last night. Other than that, there wasn't a whole lot coming through this morning, Ben. Thank you.
Good stuff. Thank you, Leighton. Henry, morning. What's happening up in Sydney? What have you got for us?
Morning, guys. Well, the sun is out. The sky is blue and not really much. As Marcus says, we're all waiting for this US CPI number to come out, and that will probably be the direction of the market from there. As far as my stuff goes today, just talking about real world inflation, the price of lettuces, etc. I put on Facebook yesterday a question about some real world inflation, just getting some ideas of what's really happening out there in the market. And certainly some things are very interesting. One gentleman had his Kia car written off, and the new for old car, it was only a 2-year-old car, it was 33% more for the new car against his car that he bought 2 years ago. So there is some big inflation out there. Also looking today at Zip and Sezzle, which of course that deal fell over yesterday, with Sezzle being paid $16 million in terms of break fee. Now, bearing in mind that Sezzle's only market cap is around $51 million, it's saying something when the stock collapses as it did yesterday, down 36% to that $51 million market cap. But at some stage, Zip, even though it's probably a dirty word in financial services and financial sector, the buy now, cry later sector, it will look quite attractive. They have still got a bucket load of cash. And given that we saw Nick Moller and Anthony Iser from Afterpay pocketed $264 million in bonuses, they could nearly afford to take out Zip, which was one of their big competitors, with their bonus from last year. So it's only capped at around $360 million. So I'm sure they can find another 100 down the back of the sofa somewhere. For me, Zip is starting a little bit interesting around this sort of 50 cent level. It is not one for the safety conscious. It is certainly one for the brave, but we should see how things pan out. Apart from that, doing the call today on AusBiz 10 fine stocks and a couple of ETFs, and stock of the day I think we're doing with is Neo Metals, which just signed legally signed. They've had an MOU with Mercedes-Benz. So a little bit of positivity in that lithium sector.
Henry, did you ask the Facebook discussion group today their favorite charting software? Did we get any response?
I didn't, but I will. I wasn't sure whether you wanted it as the question of the day here.
Oh, I see. No, that's okay. We've had a question from a member about what is the best charting software that includes trailing stop losses. And we'll put that question up tomorrow then on the Facebook discussion group, or email me with what you think is the best charting software. We use OmniTrader. We used to use MetaStock, but OmniTrader is like MetaStock with bells and whistles on. It's just prettier and more user-friendly. Most of them do the same thing anyway, but I would say there are two main ones for us. One would be MetaStock and the other one OmniTrader. But send us in your suggestions and we'll publish those for other members.
I've just put it up on Facebook, so we don't have to wait till tomorrow.
Yep.
Stuff. Thank you, Henry. On to our fresh ideas today. Chris, you've got one for us.
Thank you, Ben. It is CSL Limited, and you'll forgive me, I'm backing over this stock. I covered it on the 23rd of June, and at the time, I was talking about the flight to quality that was occurring in the market, as well as specifically to CSL, the recovery in plasma collections. And I said it was enough to warrant being a buyer. I also said at the time, it's not often that you're presented with such an opportunity to buy a high quality company at a reasonable price. Since then, it has gone from $260 to around $293 this morning. So well done to anyone who followed the fresh idea at the time. The question now, of course, is whether or not it is still worth buying. And I would say the answer to that question is still an emphatic yes. All of the positive elements remain intact. So they'll continue to have increased blood plasma collections. They have launched recently their new Rika platform, which is about 30% more efficient. It's a better experience for people coming in donating blood. It's faster and, as I said, more efficient as well. And then the other thing that's going to happen in the next few months is they will bed down the Vifor deal, which is a $12 billion deal. Obviously not insignificant. I've said before, if I was going to back any management team, I would back the CSL management team to be able to integrate an acquisition of that size. So normally the technical analyst in me would say, don't buy a stock ahead of a big round number like $300. As I said, it's trading around $293 at the moment, but I think the fundamentals are strong enough to dispel that concern. So for anyone who missed that initial move, as I say, I'd still be a buyer now. Target's up towards about $330.
Very nice. Thank you, Chris. Tom, you've got one for us as well.
Yes, I do, Ben. Looking at BHP group ahead of production numbers, which are due out next Monday. The prior quarter was mostly in line with forecasts, although they did talk about higher labor costs, which are continuing to bubble away. NAB's business survey yesterday said labor costs are the highest they have ever been. So that's also likely to be a feature of August reporting season. Iron ore has obviously come off a fair bit this quarter as economic growth expectations have also been downgraded. So commentary isn't likely to be too optimistic. The main focus, though, will be on production and cost guidance. So they're the ones to look out for. And a checklist I have come up with to gauge for a bottom for BHP. It might sound a bit obvious, but the things to look out for are iron ore price bottom, copper price bottom, CRB index bottom, which is the makeup of a lot of different commodities, and Chinese economic outlook improving, but we could be a little while.
And worth saying, I've put at the bottom of your piece there, Tom, the numbers on the whole resources sector or the major stocks in the ASX 300. And although you will see PE on BHP 5.8, Rio 5.8, Fortescue 5.5, yield 17.3, 17.6, 45.5. I mean, why wouldn't you, on the face of numbers, put all your money in those three stocks? And the reason, of course, is that the fundamentals always reflect what has happened in the past, and these share prices will and are highly correlated to commodity prices, particularly iron ore price. If the iron ore price falls over, it doesn't matter what the PE, the share price will fall over as well. So you really can't buy and sell or time resources stocks on fundamentals. You have to time them on trend, on commodity price trends, on macro backdrop to commodity prices, not on the individual stocks themselves. So the numbers look fabulous. And that is usually, perversely, when resources peak, when the fundamentals look their best. It might sound stupid, but that's the stock market.
And Marcus, I think you've got something else in Fresh Ideas for us as well.
Oh, yes. I've just dropped in another list from our technical scans in the morning. Oversold on RSI. It's just interesting, the features in there. Gold sector is there. The Better Shares Gold Bullion ETF is in there, and a bunch of gold stocks, Newcrest oversold, for instance. Also the copper price. And at some point, Oz Minerals, which is highly correlated to the copper price, will present a great buying opportunity as soon as we start to look through the bottom of the cycle. The copper price will take off, and Oz Minerals is the geared play to that. Also the silver price, tin price, zinc price, all oversold as well. And the resources ETF oversold as well. And then there are a bunch of stocks in there, which includes a bunch of gold stocks like Evolution Mining, Newcrest Mining, Oz Minerals, and a variety of others.
Very good. Thank you, Marcus.
Oh, and I almost missed out. One sector that popped up on the technical buy scan on a weekly basis. So weekly is more meaningful than daily charts, tends to identify bigger pivot points, consumer discretionary. Doesn't seem to be enough reason for us to get excited about it yet, but there's no doubt in this little relief rally we've had, a lot of the consumer discretionary stocks, which were hard hit in the sell-off, came back very quickly. Let's wait for more convincing macro changes before we get excited about consumer discretionary. But it's interesting to see that people were prepared to buy the likes of Harvey Norman and JB Hi-Fi and Breville and Nick Scali again.
Yeah, you'd have to be brave, but as we've said a few times, there's a price for everything. So at some point.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that. Very quickly, we've got our weekly income investors section in the newsletter as well. I've got a few bits in there. We've got our reliable income screen, which is an example of one of the screens we use to help us identify quality income opportunities using Stockopedia's screening tool, which we've talked about a little bit. It's just a list of stocks that tick a number of boxes, which you'll have to log into the newsletter to see those boxes. We can't be giving that kind of stuff away on a podcast, maybe once it goes behind the paywall. So check that out. It spits out a list of 15 or so stocks that tick a lot of boxes of reliable income. They've shown reliability of the dividends in size and consistency in the past, and a forecast to continue, price earnings, those kind of things. We've got that. We've got the portfolio X-ray, which we chuck in there every week, which looks at the value versus quality factors on Stockopedia. We've also got our calendar for the next few weeks of dividend portfolio holdings. So what's coming up for just the holdings in the dividend portfolio. So check that out if you are an income investor and interested in that section. Marcus, I believe you're about to tell us which bank is the best.
I will. Yes, I am. And I've done a strategy bit today, which is everyone on hold for the CPI number, but I've written today which bank is the best bank. And this came from a comment from one of our members who said, I have the whole of my super fund in the CBA. You sort of suggest shock horror, putting all your eggs in one basket. But it isn't a bad egg, I have to tell you. In the last 10 years, CBA has outperformed all the other banks. It's up 75% in 10 years exactly. The ASX 200 is up 61%. And all the other banks, NAB up 25%, ANZ up only 1%, and Westpac down 6.8% in the last 10 years. Can you believe that? And so the CBA has been the better performer by far.
Just quickly on that, I know a story of two twins that are around our age that got given stocks by their grandparent when they were born. One got Commonwealth Bank, the other got Westpac. So when they turned 21, one was very happy and the other not so much.
There you go. And but of course, most people hold the banks for income. So you've got to look at the total return. So total return, not including franking, CBA has delivered 253% in the last 10 years, NAB 184, ANZ 113, and Westpac 98, which shows you Westpac, it's down 6.8% over 10 years, but actually it's returned 98%. So you've doubled your money because of the dividends. And over that period, the ASX returned 144%. So the CBA is obviously the best bank. And this is despite, and I put a table of broker recommendations in the strategy piece today, that's despite it always being a sell. And if you look at the target prices at the moment on that table, the average target price for Commonwealth Bank is 1.5% below the current share price. For ANZ, it's 18% above, Westpac 20% above, and NAB 12% above, which is normal for the banks. The brokers always seem to have CBA as a sell because its PE is higher than the others. And yet here we go, it has massively outperformed the other banks and the market. So the CBA is the best bank, or is it? Then you move on to the Macquarie total return chart over the last 10 years, and it's 1,028%. So it has done four times better than the CBA. And if you are going to put all your eggs in one basket or in one stock, then I've always said that although Macquarie may not be 100% franked and may have a 1% lower yield than the CBA at the moment, they do have the highest ROE and they do have 14,000 of the smartest brains in Australia with one purpose in mind, make money. So why wouldn't you invest in that? Plus, as Groucho Marx will tell you, any club that wants me, I don't want to be a member of. Macquarie rejected me at interview. I failed their personality test. I was not enough of a team player. Can you believe that? And so I think anyone who doesn't want me must be a good investment. So there you go, Macquarie. So have a read of that. It is, of course, an article that would give ASIC a conniption, the idea that you put all your money into one stock. So read with that in mind. But it is an interesting concept.
I worked for Macquarie for 7 years. I must have passed the personality test.
Yeah, well, you are a team player, Henry, you see. I'm just a bit more, I was aggressive. They had a question, which was, there is an old lady standing at the side of the road on a busy road who needs to get across. Would you want to push her into the middle of the road?
That's the right answer.
Grab her hand, ask her if she needed any help. Three, pick her up. You know, it was that sort of stuff. And I was just push her into the road. And so one of their criteria was how aggressive you were. And I scored the highest aggression criteria on any test, apparently. And of course, the reason why is because I turned up on an XJ 1200 motorbike down the embankment with Purple Rain playing in my helmet. I was pumped. Just then it tells you a lot of these IQ tests, personality tests, depend what mood you're in at the time. So I was in
you know what the correct answer to that question is you have to move the old lady to one of their toll roads and then charge her to go across the road.
Of course.
Yep. Okay. Question of the day. Following on from our question yesterday, which was your most recent book you've read, today we're going to ask, what is the last or your favorite TV show that you've watched, Tom?
I just finished Yellowstone, the fourth season. And if you haven't watched it, it'll make you want to be a cowboy. I reckon it's fantastic.
That's why you're wearing spurs and a cowboy hat right now.
And a big belt buckle, yes.
And you know, Kevin Costner is almost not acting there. He is so into horses, it's ridiculous.
Oh, really? Yeah, so he didn't have to learn to ride horses or anything?
No. And that's why he did Dancing with Wolves and all that. It was all horse stuff. He loved all that stuff.
And go Beth. How good is Beth?
Yeah, Beth. And her Mercedes S-Class. One day I'll get one of those.
Very nice. Leighton?
I just finished watching the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. Very, very good. If you're a Star Wars fan, would highly, highly recommend it. And I'm also a little bit disappointed that I missed yesterday's question because I feel like you would have loved my answer.
Go on.
Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Henry.
I will give you a usual one. It comes from Luxembourg and it's called Capitani, which I just discovered last night. There's two seasons and it is very good, I have to say. Very strange language, Luxembourgish, but sort of French in there as well, but it is good. And also bite-sized for a murder mystery. Only 25 minutes an episode, which is unusual. Usually they go to an hour, but it's pretty good. I'm enjoying it.
Very nice. Chris?
I'm going to go favorite and it's The West Wing. Huge Aaron Sorkin fan. Also love The Newsroom, which was excellent, closely followed by Breaking Bad.
Nice couple of good ones there. Marcus?
We've been watching The Split. Have a look at that. Three sisters and their mother, all of whom divorce lawyers. And it was a rather hilarious. It did make me think, because I did law at university, that I would have really enjoyed divorce law. I did enjoy family law. There you go. The Split.
Very nice. And I'm currently watching Lost, which came out about 15 years ago. But it's great. Yeah, it's great. We're season 4, so no spoilers, please. I'll be very sad.
They find him.
Damn. Thanks, guys. See you tomorrow.
Thanks, Dave.
See you, H.
I was playing golf at the weekend with one of my friends who has been listening to our morning meeting podcast for free for the past year, and he was looking a bit sad. And the reason he was looking a bit sad is because from the 1st of August, the Marcus Today morning meeting podcast is going dark. We are putting it behind the paywall. It'll be for members only. Anyone who wants to continue listening to the Marcus Today Morning Meeting podcast should do themselves a favour and us a favour and subscribe. And just to tickle you along, if you send an email to info@marcustoday.com.au and be very nice to Will, Chi-Chi and Karishma, they may just give you a bit of a promo code. Give it a go.